You know, I would like to think that America could respond even more and do some things. I don't know what those things are. I mean, I've been thinking about this for a long time. I've known the day was coming when we were going to be out of here and somebody was going to say, you know, we needed to leave. I do know that the FEMA and EOC people disagree on us leaving and shutting down. And Pastor Jimmy Blackwell down the road at the other camp for the county, the Christian Life Center camp, they're having to move and get out of that parking lot. And so they're going to be shutting down and relocating, and they're not sure where they're going to relocate. They don't even know for sure if it's going to be in this county. So if both end up shutting down about the same time, that could be rough for the people, for the residents here. And I don't know. I think letting the Mississippi and I think letting the political element of each state know. The people of Mississippi and the local people certainly can't speak up, and they are to some degree. America doesn't need to stop supporting the area just because they think it's kind of fixed. You know, it's interesting, back home in Knoxville and in Texas both, they feel like, you know, I've had friends and family members say, well, haven't we done enough? Aren't those people ready to get back on their own? And, you know, if you see what happened on television and hear what's been done, you think a lot has been done, a lot of FEMA trailers, a lot of money, a lot of food's been given away, a lot of hot meals, and, you know, aren't they ready to get back on their feet? Well, that question's answered when you walk around this town and drive around this town. It's answered immediately when you watch the people come down the road walking with their buggies or on their bicycles. You know, they're really one of the main modes of transportation in this town, in this county now, is bicycle. Bicycles are valuable. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are bicycles everywhere. I mean, how many are right here around us, you know? So these people don't have cars, and they don't have the money to buy a car. They don't have a job. And there's some debate about jobs being available. There are a few businesses that have opened up that have put out applications. A lot of the people really don't qualify for those jobs. You can't have a 40-year-old construction worker hopping curbs at Sonic. You know, there he's not going to get that job. That job's going to go to the 19-year-old girl. So, you know, the kind of jobs that, you know, whether he worked at GE or DuPont or at the local gas station, you know, 80% of those jobs don't exist and will not exist. So, I don't know. I've thought and prayed about this, and I really don't know. It's frustrated me, and it's disheartened me to some degree because I know when I leave, there will be people still sleeping on the ground with their kids, trying to stay warm and no hope of a job or getting their house fixed. And some of them are not able to get FEMA trailers, you know, for whatever reason. Not everybody can get a FEMA trailer. There are hundreds that can't. You have to have electricity, water, and sewer hookup. You have to agree to relocate. Even at that, if they relocate to a FEMA park in this county, which the one I looked at was on a Little League baseball field, they just covered it in gravel and moved the trailers in.
Heads up.
There's no jobs for most of these people. I mean, the jobs that are open, you know, if 60 people went to apply for those jobs and got those jobs, then there are no jobs. And, you know, there are a couple of places that are hiring. I think the people are discouraged. When I first got here, there was a sense of humiliation. They were embarrassed. They were humiliated that they were hunting for clothes for probably the first time in their life. You know, they needed underwear. They were embarrassed to let anybody know or to ask, you know. They needed clothes, and the clothes have been a difficult situation here. I've got an aerial photograph of this site taken September the 10th, and there is a mountain of clothes that had been dumped in the back of this parking lot. And some of us tried to keep the clothes and keep them covered and keep them put them back in boxes at the end of the day. Every time we unloaded a tractor trailer with clothes, the people would get into them and kind of make a mess of them. It made a lot of, upset a lot of people, including the EOC and FEMA people. And I'm not afraid to say this. I started counting when they started. FEMA said we needed to dump the clothes because they were damp. Some of them had been rained on, and they were ruined. Some of them were still in boxes. Some of them had cockroaches in them. But we were told to clean the parking lot up and dump them, and they brought in dumpsters. I quit counting over a month ago, well over a month ago, at 36 dumpsters full that had been carried off of clothes. Nothing but clothes sent by Americans to this spot to be distributed out. And, you know, a lot more than 36 dumpsters were dumped and hauled away. So that's another thing that's been discouraging for me, and you know, a solution has to be found for that. And we still get clothes, and a lot of people still don't want the clothes, and some of us do and try to distribute them and give them out, but that's a problem that needs a better solution. You need organization and more volunteers. It takes a lot of volunteers to separate. The clothes really need to be hung up or put on shelves. They need to be kept in a good tent that the dew doesn't settle on. And we haven't been able to solve those problems, mainly because we didn't have the volunteers to deal with it. So, and there today, there are people came that have come here today, some of them for the first time, still asking for blankets, a tent, a cooler, clothes. You know, they were hauling the clothes off today, and there were 25 people over there going through the clothes saying, we need the clothes.
Wow.
So, you know, you and I can leave this place and go to, it's okay.
It's okay.
Go back to our normal life in a warm place. These people can't, you know. I gave a lady the other night 6 blankets, and she had 4 kids with her in a tent. She got denied her FEMA trailer because there was the one that she had been designated for and that they were going to deliver, it had some sort of gas leak in it, so they wouldn't let her in it, and they kept it locked, and so she was still staying in her tent. And I gave her 6 blankets, and she just fell over the side of a car and started crying. And I said, why are you crying? She says, these blankets are wonderful, thank you. And that's all she said. Just because of blankets, you know. She had 4 kids, 2 teenage boys. You know, we don't understand the scope of their situation. You know, they're in a difficult situation. There again, I don't know what the solutions are. I'll take this later. So,
how can people send money here?
Bastrop has had an account that people can contribute to, but that's in Texas.
Okay.
The kitchen has an account. You know, I know very little about that account.
Oh, okay.
I'm not connected to that. I can't really make a comment on that account. I don't know anything about it.
Who would?
You know, there are, you know, the Red Cross has helped us a little bit. Back home, my church says, you know, we should probably just send our money to the Red Cross. I need to be careful what I say here. The Red Cross has helped us with propane, and for 1 week they helped us with diesel.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else has been private individuals and churches and organizations that just, you know, a little office.
What were they at?
Construction company. A man and his wife and some other friends had a little construction company in a small town in Pennsylvania, and they came down here and volunteered and brought a little truckload and said, we'll be back in a month. And that was a little over a month ago. They drove up the other day with the tractor trailer full of stuff, just full of, you know, tents and blankets and clothes and sleeping bags and canned goods. That just a few of them had raised in a month, you know, from a small town in Pennsylvania. So, And that has been crucial to the people of this county. Those needs haven't ended, but you know, things are phasing out and closing out. There's a lot of relief centers and distribution points that have already closed down. There's several in this county that have already closed down. So, I think the federal agencies who sort of call the shots and who are the ones that have told us we need to be out need to reconsider, and you know, and if some people could influence them, you know, be it private citizens or individuals or businessmen or politicians, it doesn't matter to me. I would like to see them make a better effort at a transition period, a 6-month or 12-month transition period where the people that need it can still get blankets and tents and canned goods and meals. I think that would be good, but you know, how you go about that, I don't know. They want this county to recover economically, and they say that's why we're closing some of this stuff down. Walmart's opening. I'm sure Walmart has let it be known that they're opening up, and they think their opinion on the markets, the free markets, are probably that they should be phased out and people should come shop there. A lot of people will be able to do that. Some people won't because they don't have the money to go to Walmart and buy groceries. So that's kind of the dilemma that we're in. And it's kind of hard for me to walk away from that, you know. I think we need to figure out some solutions. FEMA and EOC are management agencies. They don't really supply needs, and they will tell you that if you ask them. They manage. They make decisions and control things. They really do leave it up to the private individuals in the private sector to supply the needs.
Wow.
So, the first FEMA person I ran into, I had been here almost 2 weeks. It was a Thursday afternoon, and it's like the 11th day I had been here, and I asked around, and that was the first FEMA person that had been stepped foot on this parking lot, and it was almost 3 weeks after the Katrina had hit. So, I think the local people realize they shouldn't depend, and you can't wait on FEMA or the agencies to respond very quickly. They went to certain areas and probably stretched themselves as thin as they could, to be fair to them. And this is a place that just got overlooked. And at some point somebody says, you know, we probably ought to send somebody to Waveland and Hancock County and see what's happening there, you know. And what was happening is the private sector had already responded, and this place was already set up without any federal FEMA EOC input or awareness. They weren't even aware of us, you know. And it's interesting, when they first got here, they weren't sure if we should be here, and they talked about us closing down immediately, which we didn't understand that. But we worked through that. We talked with them and got that worked out. A lot of problems have come up here, but we've somehow managed to just smile and say, okay, we'll see what we can do, you know. And health inspectors, I'm sure Clovis talked about that some, and
no,
all kinds
actually.
Of things. There's been all kinds of, I don't know how many people have walked onto this place and said, you know, we're going to shut you down. And we go, you know, after a while we just go, okay, get in line, you know.
Wow.
But we're still here, and ultimately it's because the local law enforcement, you know, we help them and their families, and they've been friends to us, and most of the agencies defer, when it comes down to it, to the local authorities, and the citizens, of course, have been blessed by us being here, too. So.
And the citizens are still saying that they want you here, even
beyond. Yeah, absolutely. I've had them come up to me and say, what are we going to do when you all shut down? What are we going to do? You know, what is my family going to do? You know? It's easy to say, well, it's time for you to get a job and get a paycheck and and recover on your own and take some initiative on your own. It's easy to say that, and it sounds good, and it's what we all should do, and yet if only, you know, there's probably only, there's less than 20 businesses open in the county out of 1,650. That's not economic recovery.
No.
It's not even the beginning of, I mean, it's just a grain of sand in the bucket of economic recovery that needs to take place, so I don't know.
Okay.